Hello and welcome to the Will to Win podcast. This is Alex Muir, helping millennial professionals reach peak mental and physical performance. And in today's episode, we have a special guest, Mitch Russo. Mitch is the CEO of RussoPlus.com. And he also is the podcast host of Your First 1,000 Clients. And Mitch also is the author of The Invisible Organization and Power Tribes. So, without further ado, I'll introduce you to Mitch in the next few minutes here.
Oh, are we through? All right, you're in. Awesome.
Hey, hello, Alex.
Hey, how's it going, Mitch?
It's going great. Sorry for the delay. I just got the invite, and I guess we're on now.
Awesome. Yeah, so now we're live, we're on the air, and really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Hopefully my sound's okay. I know you mentioned earlier I was echoing a little bit, but... No matter. Yeah, it's all about changing up the headset, I guess, eh? Sometimes I use my AirPods or my over-the-ear headphones and stuff, and I get a little bit different sound. So, but eventually, over time, I'm probably going to get like a mic, so it's a little bit better. But do you use a mic for your podcast at all?
Oh, yeah. I have an in-house studio, so I'm all set
up.
Oh,
okay.
So, yeah. Nice. Yeah,
it's awesome. Awesome. Well, really appreciate you having on the podcast, Mitch. I know you're a busy guy, and... I want to thank you again for having you on, and also want to mention our this episode is brought to you by the radioguestlist.com. It's the number one free radio guest podcast and talk show guest expert interview booking service on the internet, and that's how I was able to find you, because it what this service does is it was from a book that I read actually called Click Millionaires by the author of Scott Fox, mm-hmm. and he came up with this free service for podcasters and radio announcers, and also for guest experts to come on to shows and stuff. So it's a really awesome service, and it's helped me connect with fellow professionals and people that are experts in their field. So it's a great opportunity to get to know you. And first, that question I had for you there was Tony Robbins. As soon as I saw Tony Robbins, I'm like, oh, I have to get this gentleman on my podcast and know more about kind of how you and Tony got into business together, and how did that all start?
Yeah, well, it turns out that one of my very dear friends, Chet Holmes, and I had been connected for many, many years before I knew Tony. And it was really Chet who was able to make the connection with Tony Robbins. And from there, when he and Tony decided to start working together, that's when Chet brought me into the equation. And it was funny because Chet, Tony, and I got on the phone every Thursday night. And of course, Tony's and Chet are on the West Coast. So for me, it was like I'm dialing in at around 11 p.m. And we'd probably go to midnight or 1 a.m. in the morning. And we would just hang out and talk about the potential of what the three of us can contribute together and being in business together. And it was a great conversation. It was always fun. And Tony, for me, was like one of my real heroes. I mean, Tony's materials had been very impactful on me for many years before I even got to meet him. So you can imagine, after spending practically 6 months negotiating this contract and coming up with a business model, building out the entire 500-person live event in which we were going to kick off this relationship, to finally meet this guy was just—it was such an astounding moment for me. I'll never forget it.
That's amazing. Yeah, because he's helped so many people, especially entrepreneurs or anyone, just kind of reframe their psychology. And I'm like, that's kind of a lot what my brand's about, helping millennial professionals reach peak mental and physical performance. And that's a combination of psychology and physiology. Because without the proper psychology, you're not going to build that body or that physique that you want to build. You got to have both. They're in conjunction with one another. And Tony Robbins really kind of, made that really clear to me. And another thing that he mentioned was talking about, like, you don't want to annihilate your body, you want to stimulate your muscles and your body. Annihilate it, then you're not going to want to go to the gym again, and you're going to want to eat crappy food because you're so drained. But But if you just stimulate the muscles and stimulate the body and the mind and regularly, then that's going to put you in a really good position to, you know, have peak mental performance. So that's something I learned from Tony, and it was very impactful for me as well.
I think that's completely right. And then particularly in these days with the coronavirus and all of us being home, stimulating the body is so powerful and so important. And Tony really does specialize in what I call state changing. I mean, that's one of the things that he does almost immediately. As soon as you enter a live event with Tony, he's going to change your state. And what he's going to do is he's going to teach you how to enhance your state and stay there, which I think is awesome. That's the best part of working with Tony, is that we're all in a great state all the time. And of course, Tony's a genius when it comes to business. He's one of the smartest people I know.
Yeah. Because when I went to his event, there was an event in Vancouver, because I'm Canadian, and he came to Vancouver, it would have been a year and a bit ago or more. Yeah. And at his event, that's something that he did. Like he would, he was saying for business, like he's involved in a ton of businesses, or he's not actively involved, but he's on the team of with all these people in his businesses, and he's not necessarily directly involved, but he has a presence in all of these different businesses, which I find really interesting. And he's very good at delegating, delegating to a lot of different people on his teams and stuff.
Exactly. And I'll take a second and describe my thinking about where Tony is at and where not many people are at. I call it the three stages of wealth. And in everyday life, most of us would go to work and earn a living. And if we're smart and thoughtful, we're going to take a part of that living and we're going to put it away and save it. And so we get up in the morning, we go to work, we come home, and every week we get paid, or every 2 weeks, and then we save a portion of that. That eventually leads to stage two of wealth. And that's where now the money that you've saved, and it could take quite a while, but the money that you saved starts generating enough income to highly contribute to the quality of your life. And then finally, in stage three of wealth, your name is the thing that generates money. So now at stage three, you can endorse something, and your name, because of who you are and because of the hard work you've done to create that reputation, now your name generates wealth. So Tony is definitely and clearly in stage three, has been for a long time. And that's how he leverages so many of his roles in different businesses, as you mentioned.
Right. Because he's been at that stage for a while, like he's been able to use his name, because exactly. He's worked with so many different people in so many different industries. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that three stages of wealth. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And for someone that's coming right out of the gate, you know, because I know you're also like a business coach, right?
Yes.
To help your clients, like startups or, you know, different stages of their business. Mm-hmm. Someone that's coming right out of the gate, let's just say they're running an online business. What advice would you recommend for someone that's slowly building their brand? They have a good professional digital online presence on their blog, let's say on their YouTube channel, and they have their own podcast. What advice would you give them if they want to really build their name and their brand over a long period of time, as long as they have that long-term vision? What would be your beginning steps?
Sure. So I'm going to give you both the defensive and the offensive, because the most important thing is to protect what you have. And then secondarily, you want to go and build that rapidly. So offensively, you should keep your lifestyle as modest as possible. I know it is hard to do that, particularly when maybe you've been struggling for a long time and all of a sudden you start making great money and, you know, there's that BMW that you've always wanted or whatever it may be. The idea is to build wealth as powerfully and quickly as possible by trying to keep as much of it in savings as you possibly can. Of course, pay your taxes, that's important, but ultimately save, particularly if you're a millennial, now is the time, because later in life, it's going to be harder once you start building expenses. Offensively, what I would tell you to do is, no matter how hard you're working, you have to set time aside to be visible and build content. And it depends on how you choose to do it, but it doesn't matter in a sense. What matters is that you're building content and you're distributing it regularly. You're focused on creating and building your list, building your audience, and delivering incredible content to that audience and getting the kind of feedback which says, yes, I love your content. Keep coming, keep going, give me more. Those are the ways that you can prepare at this stage of your life to have a life of success. Because here's something interesting, and I learned this from a friend, and he basically said that 100% of businesses will go out of business, because whatever they do will someday either be obsolete or no longer applicable. And the times we live in right now could possibly be the best proof of that ever. I have a client who was just absolutely killing it from stage. He was running live events. He was running all kinds of incredible live programs. And then all of a sudden, as like a light switch, it's completely gone. And he has a team of people and he has overhead. How, what do you do? You see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the one thing that, how do you build like a recession proof or pandemic proof business like that?
Yeah. It's got to come from your content. It's got to come from your presence. Content. Yeah. Yeah. It's got to come from, who are you? What is your reputation? What are you known for? What books have you written? How many episodes do you have of your podcast or presentation? You know, all of these things. And by the way, they could be YouTube videos. They could be, I mean, for some people it's Pinterest. I mean, not for me, but for some people it's Pinterest. It might be Amazon. But whatever it is that you do, you just need to keep building. There, I hate to tell you this, in a way it's a good thing, but it's also a little disheartening to those who are just starting out. Here's the short answer. You can never stop. Even as you become more and more successful, you just got to keep creating content. Ultimately, ultimately, the most two important things about being in business are your ability to do two things, two single things, create and communicate. And that's it. Everything else you can delegate.
I like that. That's like your mission statement on your website there, I saw.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Exactly.
Create and communicate. So because I can really relate to the create part. I feel over these last few years, I got a background in financial services, and it kind of set the foundation for me to, you know, get my car, get my condo, kind of set the stage, because it, you know, I earned a, you know, fairly good living off of banking. Mm-hmm. But then as time went on, I that was like kind of like a mini career for me. I spent 4 years in banking and just wasn't entirely my fit. And then I transitioned into marketing, because I always had this creative side, this creative drive outside of banking, that I would work on like my YouTube channel and all these creative endeavors. And I wanted to feed that. So I'm like, okay, what's going to feed that? What career move is going to feed that the best? And that's why I decided to go with marketing for my next kind of career move. So in a way, I'm kind of stuck in the same industry, but I did, you know, slight pivot from finance into marketing, but I like it a lot better because it's kind of getting me closer and closer towards my end goal. And that's, you know, being able to create all day, every day on a daily basis, like as a full-time gig. So although I've had to work full-time while I'm kind of building this online business of mine on the side, I know if I keep up with it, you know, for the long haul, like I'll be able to make this a full-time income. And that's my dream. That's my passion for it.
Of course. And it should be. And that's absolutely fantastic that you're doing that. And I just want to point out, though, because a lot of people now, I don't know if you know, digitalmarketer.com has this thing going on now where you can sign up for free and learn marketing skills. And they usually charge for that service. But because of the virus and the outbreak and the pandemic, et cetera, now people can go there free. And it's not a commercial for them. I'm just letting you know that. But
That's good to know.
And here's the thing. You know, you should get marketing skills no matter what you do. Marketing skills are kind of like the basics. You know, when I was coming up through the ranks, back then it was software skills. So if you didn't have software skills, then you weren't really able to participate in what I call the global uprising of the economy. So I became a programmer and I learned how to program. And later I built a software company. Turned out that my knowledge of programming never got put to use as a programmer, but became very valuable to me in understanding what was going on and the economics of my company. So it was so important back then to do that. Today, marketing holds that same realm. Today, you could buy great software engineers for $10 to $15 an hour. And I'm sure you know that. You can hire them, you know, right off of so many different services. So ideally, you want to now take advantage of what's going on with marketing. Learn, get your marketing chops really tight, and then build upon that. Because marketing by itself will never, well, not never, but it's not likely. There's so many people doing it. It's not likely to make you a living. But if you don't know how to create a funnel, if you don't know how to build a podcast, if you don't know how to set up a website and create content, then you might as well be blind.
Yeah. I know, because those are all the things, like, from what I can see in my research and reading these books, that's what all the successful people are doing. And like they say, like Tony Robbins said, success leaves clues, right? And like, it's all about building that, like you said, that presence. And whether that, you know, like, hopefully most people have a digital presence online, because that's where things are going. And because we're living in this virtual digital world, the more I can really build that up, I know over time, I'll definitely meet some people that can help me build up my audience as well.
Yep. And that's what's going to happen. And then your audience is going to lead you to find, like, if you're new and if you have not yet created what your superpower is, or haven't discovered, I should say, what your superpower is, it's going to lead you to do that. And then it will also give you a platform to describe it and tell people about it, which, as I said, for me has been my show, my podcast, Your First 1,000 Clients, where I literally bring people on, everyone from Seth Godin to Michael Gerber, the author of The E-Myth. I mean, I've had people on there who probably wouldn't give me time of day otherwise, but now spend an hour with me. And that hour is me extracting their wisdom for the benefit of my listeners. But I got to tell you a secret, it has almost nothing to do with that. That hour is building a relationship with an incredible individual who is an influence in this world, who now, in many times, not every time, but in many cases, I can call a friend. So, you know, I became friends with people like, I don't know if you never probably ever heard of some of these people. Millennials don't usually, you know, keep track of stuff like this, but like Jeff Hazlett, he's the founder of the C-Suite Network. I had him on my show. I didn't know him at all. Had him on my show. By the end of the show, he said, "Mitch, I will fly to Florida on my jet for free to attend your mastermind if you invite me." I mean, think about it. That came from a podcast. So, Alex, why wouldn't you do, listeners, why wouldn't you do this? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. That this is why I feel I'm so drawn to building up this podcast, because I want to build those relationships with people that are, they're at the top of their game in their field and what they're doing, and they're crazy passionate about it. And because they're so crazy and passionate about it, they want to share that knowledge with other people. And I want to glean on those gems of wisdom. That's what I'm interested in. Cause like my thing is, every time I meet someone else and I interact with a new person, I always gain some sort of value from our interaction. There's always something that they say that I'm like, you know what? I didn't think about things that way. And that's what I'm after, is that newfound perspective, you know, that makes me think about things a little bit differently each time.
Of course. And that's fantastic. The other thing I would say as a tip to anybody listening here is, once you get established, once you finally figure out what it is your superpower is, once you can create a transformation in others, using the thing that you created, whether it's intellectual property, whether it's software, whether it's a process, could even be a meditation system. Once you learn how to do that, once you can cause a transformation in others, then your true wealth will come from teaching others to do it too. Do you understand what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. So once I find my purpose, my true calling, or my superpower, and then I share it with others and teach it to them, then that's really when I'll build myself up and be able to turn this into a full-time.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you do it smartly and correctly, you can actually get a piece of everything those people bill or charge for the services you taught them to deliver. And you don't have to pay them a salary. You don't, in this world, that's a thing of the past. They don't have to be a consultant or an independent contractor. All you have to do is build an agreement with them. And you could do that through reading my book, Power Tribes. All you have to do is figure out how to engage them, get them to pay you for the privilege of both reselling your products and services along with theirs. That's the key to building power.
Right, right. And I was actually listening to a podcast the other day, and I actually just checked, and you were on John Lee Dumas's Entrepreneurs on Fire podcast.
Yeah.
I saw that too. That's awesome. Yeah. So he had a digital marketer on, Nick Unsworth. And this is what inspired me to really get in touch with yourself and a lot of other professionals is Nick Unsworth basically did a live webinar on Facebook. Because his thing was he wanted to learn Facebook advertising, and he was fresh out of the gate, brand new. No one knew who he was. And because he got a fairly big name on his live webinar, and again, he was promoting his guest. He was promoting this other gentleman. I forget the person's name, but because he was basically, you know, helping, you know, them advertise their brand more, and he had a big name on, he was able to lift up his influence and his social proof through doing that live webinar. And as soon as he did that live webinar, he got so much opportunity from that experience. So I feel like as soon as you are able to make a good connection with someone that has a fairly large name, or they have that influence in the business community, then it can really, you know, take your business to the next level just by being associated with them.
It's not quite that simple. And I don't want to leave people with the illusion that just become associated with somebody else and your business will grow. My advice is that if there's somebody who you admire, and you get the chance to interview them, remember that person's probably doing 5 interviews a week, some cases 5 interviews a day, and they're not going to remember you beyond tomorrow. So the most important thing to do is to build that relationship. And in many cases, building that relationship comes down to serving them. Now you say, well, why would I serve some rich guy who already has everything he wants? And the answer is because you stand out if you do. I'll give an example of somebody who did that with me, which turned out to help me become friendly and want to, in reciprocity fashion, help him. Turns out that this one individual stepped up and said, Mitch, I want to set you up so that I can get you on several shows. And I said, oh, great. And then at that point, he said, well, Mitch, I'd like to include you in my summit and feature you as one of the speakers and blah, blah, blah. And so he kept doing things for me. And that became the beginning of a friendship. And that friendship has endured many years at this point. And actually, I have many friends like that who I've done things for in the same way, who now have been and hopefully will remain my friends for a very long time. So it's not just a matter of making contact. You must develop and nourish those friendships.
Right, right. To always find a way to give back and give some sort of value.
Never stop. As long as you can, keep doing it, because the truth is that it's always going to serve you.
For sure. It's like that giving out good karma, and you get the good karma back in different forms over time. Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. No, that's awesome. And what other questions did I have for you here? So what made you want to start off with electrical engineering?
Well,
in
okay,
software.
so I have to go a little bit further back, and I just might take a few extra minutes, but okay.
No, no
So it
worries.
turns out that, when I was in high school, I was one of these kids that I never really played much sports. I was smaller than the rest of the kids. And Alex, to tell you the truth, I couldn't attract the opposite sex with a $100 bill. So, bottom line at that point is I was thinking, well, how the heck? I mean, I'm so shy. How do I get a date? All my other friends are doing that. And I thought, well, maybe the best way to do it is to start a band. And this way I can draw girls to me. So I started a band. And I was already playing guitar and I loved my guitar. But here's the interesting thing. The band gave me the opportunity to understand many, many, many of the concepts of business. So what that meant is that I learned how to promote my band. I learned how to price test our engagements. I learned how to get testimonials and how to use them. I learned how to generate positive PR in the press, all when I was 16 years old and I had a band. So later in life, when I pursued what I wanted to do, I went back to the things that I loved most. And for me, and I know it's not for everybody, but for me, I loved electronics. I've been building little gadgets since I'm a little boy. So it was like almost a natural pathway for me to go into electrical engineering, which is electronics. But in that process, what started to happen is I fell in love with the sales and marketing process. And I pivoted out of being an electrical engineer at a fairly big company to into marketing and sales. And I was in order to do that, by the way, I had to take a huge pay cut. And it took me 14 months before I got my first real commission check. But when I did, the payoff was so great that it justified all those months in waiting. So ultimately, going into a technical field gave me something that later in life, it was only later in life that I realized the gift it was. And what that was the ability to think in process-oriented fashion. So I now, no matter what I do, I think like an electrical engineer. And that allows me to solve problems in many ways, in a more unique way than other people can. So I'll give you an example. When I work with clients and I coach a client, the first thing I do with any new client is I build a what I call a two-dimensional map. It's typically a mind map and flow chart of all of their entire business and processes. And in 2 hours, I have the whole thing on my screen. And from there, seeing how I can help them becomes very, very easy to me. Now I see exactly where marketing and sales projects and programs, now I see where certification can fit. Now I see where all of the promotional systems that I've developed for both radio and television might fit. So it's really my engineering thinking that has brought me so many of the gifts that I have in this life. And yet to this day, I couldn't possibly get a job as an electrical engineer or a programmer for that matter. But those skills were invaluable to me.
I really like how you said you think in process-oriented fashion, because I don't really know how to describe my thinking, but I can say that over time I've learned to think in a process-oriented fashion, because that's what life is. It's a process. It's incremental
Yes,
progression,
exactly.
right? And ever since I've changed the way I used to think, was I used to think, oh, I need to solve a big problem, or I need to achieve a big lofty goal that's so unrealistic, but once I achieve it, it'll give me
Right.
this adrenaline rush. But I was kind of, my thinking was kind of like, as over time, I just realized that that thinking didn't really work, because what it did was it would cause a huge adrenaline rush and huge excitement, and then I would leave feeling very disappointed if I didn't achieve that goal. So rather than have that big, I still have those big lofty goals that I set out for myself, but I break them down into tiny micro goal chunks.
Yeah, that makes a
Does that
lot
make
of
sense?
sense. And that's very smart. And again, you have developed that through maturity. So again, important point to keep in mind here. Nobody is born with maturity. Maturity you acquire. It's something that happens as you get experience. And let me rephrase that. It's something that happens as you navigate the little failures throughout your life, sometimes big failures throughout your life. I mean, failures are what teaches us exactly how to succeed. I have never met anybody, unless they were born into a very, very wealthy family, that did not learn from failures. Even those who were will tell you some of the things they've done were failures. But most of what people seem to forget is that failures are integral into success. You can't succeed until you learn to fail. Even FedEx, the delivery service, didn't start out delivering packages. Fred Smith, who's the founder of FedEx, his entire idea was to transport checks in planes and process them between cities so that instead of used to take 8 days for a check to clear, now it clears in one day because it's electronic. But back then, the idea of clearing a check in less than 8 days was revolutionary. So he decided that he would write his master's thesis on building a network with hubs to put these checks on planes, load up the equipment that they need to clear them, and then when they land, deliver them to the banks. He got a C on his master's thesis. Do you know why, Alex? He got a C because
no.
He didn't think about the fact that the equipment and the paper were too heavy to fly. But, and here's the but. But the idea of creating hubs in multiple cities became the genesis of the package delivery company, Federal Express. So if he had not failed first, he would have never come up, likely would have never come up with Federal Express.
Yeah, because the failure helps you think of different scenarios on how to make that same idea work.
Exactly. And you said a word here that everyone needs to write down if you don't know it, and that's the word pivot. Anytime you choose to try something and it doesn't work, you have two choices. You can give up, and that's what we call a failure, or you can pivot. And when I started my software company, the original idea for my software was not the product that ultimately became our core product. It was something completely different. And then the landscape changed, like a COVID virus. The landscape changed overnight, and we were stuck with a completed software program that had no value to anybody. We could have quit, but instead what we decided to do was figure out how we can use this incredible piece of technology into something else. We had to repurpose it. That was our pivot. And if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have ever had a company.
Wow. Yeah. That's what I find very remarkable, is that when you're on the verge of either failure or you just something's not really working out because you just can't find a way around it yet. But then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, well, what if we did this and we did a pivot? That's what I find. Like it can save you a lot of time and a lot of heartache if you can see that pivot.
Exactly. And sometimes you can't see it yourself, which is this is part of why I'm a coach, because I love to help people find that pivot. I'll give you another example. One of my clients was an ex-NFL football star. And after football, he never quite found his passion. And he was living a life which he felt was hollow and meaningless. Well, we got on the phone, and in 2 hours, I discovered what it was. I showed it to him. And he got super excited, and that became the basis of a whole business that we built together around his passion. That took 2 hours. And why? It's not because I'm so smart or so good at this, although I am. It's actually because I am someone outside of his life and can see things more clearly than him. So you don't have to always have a coach to do this, but you do need another person in many cases.
Yeah. And for myself, yes, I go through phases where I'm not seeing things very clearly, and I definitely need a third party or a coach or a mentor to help give me some advice on that, because they're going to see things in a completely different way than myself. So I always like to find mentors or advisors as much as I can, especially when I'm stuck on something. because like with build, like, as you know, with building something, you know, like your online presence and stuff like that, it's a lot of learning. It's and because it wasn't my like my background's in is in finance, is not in marketing and stuff, so it's a lot of learning, but because it's what I want to do, I know it'll take some time, but eventually
you
figure it out.
And ultimately, you know, if you keep at something long enough and you continuously try different things in different ways and you pivot, then most people eventually find their way. I mean, it could even be during phases of your life. You know, if you think about it, I built a software company. I sold it for a lot of money, and I was only 44 years old by the time the whole thing completely was done. Well, do you think you can retire at 44 years old? I don't care how rich you are. You'll go out of your mind trying to retire at 44. And on top of that, I was a new dad and I had a little girl, and you know, I knew we couldn't travel the world. We couldn't get on planes. You know, we couldn't go to fancy resorts because we had a baby. So this baby needed to be raised and go to school. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. My next 20 years were going to be that of a dad. Of course, I love that role, but I couldn't retire. I can't sit home. For heaven's sakes, that's why firearms are not allowed in my house. I would have killed myself. You know, that. I mean, for heaven's sakes, this is so important. It's so important to understand that just because you reach your goal doesn't mean you shouldn't have new goals in place. You have to, no matter how big your goal is.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Because like human beings, we're meant to grow, continuously grow. And whether that's when we've reached a goal or not, like the second that we reach a goal, you know, everyone's been through it. You go through a bit of complacency, but then you got to sometimes you need some advice and be like, same as someone saying to you, Alex, no, like
that's
you just
right.
achieved this, but what's next? What's next?
Like, it has to be.
There's always the what's next. Because we're meant to create and to grow and to change.
And you know, that also applies to the things that you and your listeners sell, Alex. Never sell anything unless you know exactly what the next product they should buy will be, and it should come from you. So if you sell a solution, sell the next solution, make it part of the way that you sell. Don't ever have to sell everything over and over again. Sell one concept, one idea. Sell something that has meaning beyond the one thing that you deliver for the money that you receive. Know in advance what's coming next. Prepare for it and focus your product and your sales pitch around knowing that they're going to buy the next thing because that's what's next.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. I got a lot of good notes here.
Excellent.
Lots of good ideas. Yeah. That's awesome. Right on. Well, yeah, I can't think of anything else on the top of my head to ask you, Mitch, but this was an awesome interview, and really appreciate having you on. And I bet my listeners are looking forward to listening to this as well. I really appreciate having you on, and it was an awesome conversation, and got lots of great.
Well, I would like to invite your listeners. If anybody would like to get a hold of me or would like to see more about what I do or experience some of my content, just go to mitchrusso.com. That's MitchRusso.com. Check it out, and by all means, say hi if you get there.
No, for sure. And your two books, the Power Tribe and the other one there. You got your own. Yeah. So you got your own website for those. And
it's,
and what was
if you
want
to learn more about what
again?
I do, go to mypowertribe.com. And that will show you how I build certification programs and power tribes for my clients. And my first book is called The Invisible Organization. And if you go to invisibleorganization.com, you can see some of the amazing people that endorsed my book and read a little bit about why I wrote it and why it might be of value, particularly now when so many of us have to completely pivot and learn how to serve our clients from home instead of one-on-one.
That's right. Awesome.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
Well, I appreciate having you on, Mitch, and you take care.
Yep.